We're listening to the theme song to the Williamsburg Spelling Bee, a bi-weekly event that takes place at a Brooklyn bar. The song was written by the hosts of the Spelling Bee, who I had the pleasure to meet at one of their competitions earlier this week. Good morning, I'm George Bodarkey, and this is Cityscape. Cityscape, that's C-I-T-Y-S-C-A-P-E, right, E. Cityscape, on 90.7 FM and WFUV.org.
Hi, my name is Jennifer DeZura. I am one of the co-hosts of the Williamsburg Spelling Bee.
All right, are we ready for a spelling bee?
Frackin' yes.
Welcome to the Williamsburg Spelling Bee!
I'm Bobby Blue, and I am the creator of the Williamsburg Spelling Bee, and I'm a musician.
So here's how it's going to go down tonight. We have 10 contestants signed up. We're going to call you up in the order in which you have signed up. You're going to come right up here to this microphone, which is currently adjusted for an incredibly tall person, so you can readjust it to your own personal stature.
This is an especially unique place to hold a spelling bee, isn't it?
By which you mean it's a bar in Williamsburg, and this room is really small, sort of looks like a train car, and it's a bit dark. Sort of a long, dark corridor with seats on the side, so there's an aisle, sort of a runway, that the spellers come up when it's time to spell. So that's a really nice thing.
We have Latrice coming on down!
Welcome back to Round Current, everybody, and we are welcoming Latrice.
So how does one prepare to be a host of a spelling bee? Who did you look to for inspiration?
Wow, that's sort of like asking how does one prepare to be Catwoman in a movie? So few people have ever done it, at least outside of a school-based environment. I think that one of the things that's really important in having a good spelling bee is having a good sense of the difficulty level of words. And so people get upset, you know, when they feel that their word was much easier than some other guy's word or something like that. So in round one, all of the words need to be of a uniform level of difficulty. And then in round two, they're going to get harder. In round three, they're going to get harder. So there are some talents like that. I don't know how you would learn them, but there are some talents like that that we think go into making a good spelling bee.
All right, the first word I'm going to ask you to spell is distensible, capable of being expanded. Distensible.
Distensible. D-I-S-T-E-N-S-I-B-L-E.
Nice work, that's true. The next word I'm going to ask you to spell is naturopathy. Naturopathy, therapy relying on natural agents and remedies. Naturopathy.
N-A-T-U-R-O-P-A-T-H-Y.
That's very nice, that's correct.
Whoa. There are moments that I'm completely blown away. We have a couple of regulars here, and there are a couple of contestants that we have that, even though they've been many times, they still amaze you. People will sit in the audience and go, ooh, ah.
Please spell shellacking. Shellacking. Beating or decisively defeating. I don't know how that's different from beating. So shellacking, to beat someone.
There is alcohol. Unfortunately for the bar, I think spellers don't drink as much as people, say, watching a band or attending some other form of entertainment. So I think that some people tend to save the drinking for after the spelling bee is over. We see a lot of people sort of nursing the one drink. But plenty of people do bring the beer on stage with them. So it adds a little atmosphere, but we don't get any sloppy drunks. Sloppy drunks are not good spellers.
Megan, I'm going to ask you to please spell for us the word ineluctable. Ineluctable. Not able to be changed, avoided, or resisted. Ineluctable.
I-N-E-L-U-C-T-A-B-L-E.
That's correct. Woo!
Jennifer DeZura and Bobby Blue are the hosts of the Williamsburg Spelling Bee. The event takes place every other Monday at Pete's Candy Store in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. If you want to practice your spelling at home to prepare for the Williamsburg Spelling Bee, you might want to pick up a copy of So You Think You Can Spell. The book contains more than 200 of what the authors describe as killer quizzes for the incurably competitive and overly confident. David Grams and Ellen Levine, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Is this your first book of spelling tests?
I had done one years ago, back in 1989, that never went anywhere, even though it was a rather sizable book. I've always wanted to do another one since then, and the fact that there's so much activity in adult spelling bees today, which was absolutely not the case back in 1989, that was really the great motivating force. We were just astonished to go online and to see all of the spelling bees that were going on across the country, from bars to galleries, museums.
Also, the National Spelling Bee, as you may know, is now
a primetime sports event. So there seems to be a resurgence in interest in spelling. Parallelly, you have texting, which seems to be the antithesis of spelling. And as David said, there are competitions all over the place. You can go online. If you put spelling bee in, you'll get millions of hits. I think we were inspired to produce something that would be challenging for people who had an interest at that level, as opposed to a book of simple spelling tests or books about how to spell.
You mentioned texting. Now, of course, we also have spell check on the computer. What impact do you think that has had on people's ability to spell on their own?
We both have, we have different views about that. I'm a bit more lenient about it. I think it's actually a good thing. On the other hand, I think David feels people rely too much on it.
I think it's become an enabler of lazy spelling. People who just don't want to bother looking in a dictionary and just want to count on that being at hand. So I think it's had some bad effects on spelling aptitude for sure.
Speaking of dictionaries, David, your first job in New York was a dictionary definer for American Heritage?
Yes, I was one of the peons, not a top-level editor, but it was a wonderful job because they were extremely bright and interesting people there, and American Heritage actually came out in the 60s as a retort, supposedly, to Merriam-Webster's Third, the infamous Webster's Third that is the source for all the National Spelling Bee words, because of its liberalism and permissiveness, unquote. And Heritage wanted to do a dictionary that would bring things back to a little more respect for correctness in language and spelling and usage and things like that. And the irony of it was that it ended up being having a usage panel to give people advice about usage, so it didn't just abandon any responsibility for that. But the irony was that it also had a change of editors, and he made American Heritage the first dictionary of all the American ones to put in all the four-letter words. So it wasn't so conservative in that respect, but I really loved the job, and it was a lot of fun.
Do you think there's anything especially challenging about English spelling in particular?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, English spelling is a bit of a mess. It's extremely challenging in that there are really no rules that work all of the time. Some of the rules that people seem to come up with are complicated, and they're rather than rules, they're kind of mnemonic devices for remembering certain spellings. But the fact that it's so difficult, in a way, is what makes doing a book like ours so interesting. We took liberties, in fact, in some of the tests to make things as confusing as possible. And there are many reasons why the language is the way it is. A lot of foreign influences on the language. And English, unlike French, for instance, the French who will not allow foreign words into their language, English readily accepts any foreign word.
It's an open admissions language.
Yes. And as a consequence, you have spelling that is rather challenging.
Were there ever any movements to simplify English spelling?
There have been over the years, going back hundreds of years, in fact.
Simplified spelling has a lot of innate problems about it, despite the fact that there are organizations today.
Yeah, because in simplified spelling, obviously, they try to spell the word as it might be pronounced, but then whose pronunciation is going to be acceptable? Theodore Roosevelt was a proponent of simplified spelling, as well as Mark Twain. So there were some people who were well known who put this forward, but it never got anywhere. And now the simplified spellers get some publicity every year, maybe once a year, when they picket at the National Spelling Bee. They hold up signs that say "Enough is enough," and of course, enough is spelled E-N-U-F. We, on the other hand, think spelling is, you know, it shouldn't be simple. And if you have texting, then you can have two parallel systems, which is the way one linguist put it to us, where people will text, and then those who are interested in spelling and who want to, you know, be good spellers and correct spellers will spell. And you might want to look at it the way we look at calligraphy, let's say, as compared to handwriting, which there will always be people who are interested in the art of calligraphy, and there are people who just write in a normal way. And the people who are interested in spelling and spelling bees and language might be compared, let's say, to the calligraphers as opposed to everyone else.
Are there common misspellings that you find especially egregious?
David and I have both been editors. We find most mistakes are egregious. And in fact, we met early on as a result of our similar jobs in publishing. We were members of a support group for people with post-grammatic stress disorder. But we've seen it all, let's put it that way.
I'll just mention, too, what is unfortunate to me is that, I mean, this is the way all lexicography and linguistics work, that if people spell something a certain way, it ends up in the dictionary. But at times it's rather unfortunate. For instance, minuscule, which is M-I-N-U-S-C-U-L-E. A lot of people quite understandably think it's M-I-N-I-S. And it has been used so much to that degree that you will find it in one or two dictionaries spelled that way. Likewise, obligato, which I think is one of the great spelling words, is a difficult word because it's actually O-B-B, two B's. And most people wouldn't even consider that. And now I see American Heritage allows the O-B-L-I-G-A-T-O spelling. So it doesn't make putting a spelling book any easier.
Yes, as far as dictionaries are concerned, at least current dictionaries, if a word is spelled incorrectly often enough, it will eventually appear as an alternative spelling, which makes the job of editors kind of frustrating because it's the editor's job to correct things. On the other hand, it's sort of like it's almost futile. You know, sooner or later, the errors will be acceptable. And that's just a natural part of the way language grows and changes.
In addition to the more than 200 tests and quizzes included in your book also gives us tips on how to create our own spelling bees. What are the top three things one should keep in mind when doing that?
The first thing you would keep in mind is who are your participants, and then the next thing would be what is the purpose of the bee. If it's a charity event, then the purpose might be fun. Very often the charity events are arranged by team, where a team will be formed and then they will solicit funds from a corporation or an organization or even individuals. It depends how serious the bee is. I mean, people can organize a bee, you know, they can get the rules and regulations for the National Spelling Bee online. They can look at that. But people can just make it up as they go.
Well, we are going to call on the two of you to act as the hosts of our spelling bee here in the WFUV studios this morning. We have brought in a couple of spelling bee aficionados. Who wants to spell aficionado, first of all? Well, they are Carolyn D'Aquila and Dominique Vance, and they love to take part in spelling bees. So thank you to both of you for coming in.
No problem.
No problem.
So why don't you introduce yourselves to us? Carolyn, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm Carolyn D'Aquila, and by day I'm a social worker, and every other Monday or so I become the 7th and 8th grade spelling bee nerd that I was 10 years ago.
You take part in spelling bees that take place where?
Oh, I like to go to the Williamsburg Spelling Bee down at Pete's Candy Store.
So, Dominique, tell us a little bit about you.
I am an actress and a musician, and I got introduced to the spelling bee last year, and I've been going pretty much ever since.
Well, both of you are going to walk away with some WFUV swag just
Yay.
For taking part, but the winner of today's spelling bee on Cityscape will get WFUV music host Dennis Elsis's voice on your home answering machine.
Adult spelling bee prizes are so much better.
So let me turn the floor over to our spelling bee hosts, David and Ellen. So you have the words. Go to it, folks.
Tergiversator, one who evades or equivocates or one who abandons or deserts on a cause, etc.
Repeat the word.
Tergiversator.
Carolyn, you're up first.
Tergiversator. T-E-R-G. I-V-E-R-S-A-T-O-R. Tergiversator.
Excellent.
That was correct.
Perfect. Erysipelas, a skin disease, a streptococcal skin disease. Erysipelas.
Erysipelas. E-R-Y-S-I-P-E-L-A-S.
Wow. You people are very impressive.
Wow.
I wasn't sure about that one.
I think this would be more fun if you were really bad. Could you get something wrong?
Fun for who?
What?
Fun for you guys or fun for us?
I'm just having great fun looking at the seriousness of the two of your faces.
Oh, we've come up against each other before.
we've done some bees on the air before, and frankly, people were pretty bad. I mean, it was, and these were people who called in claiming to be good spellers. Well, let's see. Onward and upward. How about bisextal, which refers to the
pertaining to the added day in a leap year.
Yes, the 29th.
Bisextal.
Bisextal.
It is sometimes also pronounced bisextile, I believe.
Thank you.
That made it easy.
I had a feeling that's the way this was going. Bisextal. B-I-S-E-X-T-I-L-E.
Ding, 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 ding.
Is that a right or a wrong?
That was wrong, I'm afraid.
Oh!
Two S's.
It's a double S. It's B-I-S-S-E-X-T-I-L-E.
Oh.
All right, so we'll give a point to Dominique. Is that how it works? How do you guys judge generally? Or do they just keep going?
I think when we go to Williamsburg, they have a three strikes rule, but I think you just count how many we get right.
Okay, so one right and one wrong for Carolyn has that. So we'll move over to Dominique.
Kris Kringle.
You mean Santa? Kris Kringle.
As opposed to St. Nicholas.
Capital K-R-I-S-S space, capital K-R-I-N-G-L-E.
That was correct.
Very good.
Yeah, the mistake that people make there is they spell Chris with one S.
I've seen it spelled that way.
So have I.
Uh-oh.
I guess probably one of those wrong spellings that's made it into circulation.
Yes. Appaloosa.
Rugged North American saddle horse.
Appaloosa. A-P-P-A-L-O-O-S-A.
That is correct.
Excellent.
Yes.
Canada. A Dravidian language of southern India. Canada.
Oh, crap. Canada. K-A-N-E-D-A.
No, I'm afraid not.
No.
It's capital K. We're
right.
Not going to worry about the caps here, though. K-A-N-N-A-D-A.
Oh, right.
Oh.
Very tricky.
That's a horrible word.
We have a tie game right now. A tie game. Two for Carolyn, two for Dominique, both with one wrong. Back to Carolyn.
Okay, how about Filuminist? A Filuminist is a matchbook or
matchbox
collector.
Filuminist. P-H-I-L... L-U-M-E-N-I-S-T.
That's correct.
Excellent.
Okay.
Chalco-tripped. One who does brass rubbings.
Chalco-tripped. C-H-A-L-C-O-T-R-Y-P-T.
First rate. You people are terrific.
I think we're going to have to look for a new job.
Yeah. Well, while you guys look for some harder words, let me ask these two what you do to prepare for these spelling bees. What kind of effort goes into it?
Oh, I'm not gonna lie. I don't really prepare too much these days. I remain open to all of the words that I spell wrong at adult spelling bees. And then for a long time, I was a competitor. And then after I got out of eighth grade, I never really left. And I kept volunteering for the New Hampshire State Spelling Bee Program. And I became a judge and then a pronouncer. And finally, I moved away. Ah. So I had to leave. But I amassed a sizable knowledge.
No wonder you know so many words.
Dominic,
I'm more interested
you?
In you. Tell me how you ended up doing this.
Well, when I was in sixth grade, I nearly went to nationals. And I screwed up a really simple word. I think it was allegiance, which I know how to spell, and I just said it wrong. My friends took me to the Williamsburg, and I started writing down the words that I heard that I didn't know or that I got wrong. So I have kind of a list now that I look at. And then there are always words I don't know.
Well, let's continue with the competition. We're back to Carolyn here.
How about theodicy? I'll give you the definition if you'd like.
Thank you.
It's a defense of God's goodness despite the reality or existence of evil. Theodicy.
I really hope that I'm not going to betray my Catholic education for 11 years right here. But theodicy is T-H-E-O-D-I-C-Y.
Very good.
Yes.
Excellent. My God, I'm not getting to go ding, ding, ding. This is very frustrating. Okay, how about
Psoriasis.
Yeah, psoriasis. I wasn't even sure how to pronounce that.
Is a word for sunstroke.
This is not psoriasis, the skin disease. This is psoriasis, the sunstroke disease.
Psoriasis. Crap. Psoriasis. C-E-R-I-A-S-I-S. No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Nope. Starts with an S?
It's S-I-R-I-A-S-I-S.
Ah.
Okay.
And Carolyn takes the lead.
How about cocaine? An imaginary land of ease and comfort.
Hmm. I think it's fitting I haven't heard of this. What language does this come from? Do you happen to know? Or will you tell me?
I'd only be guessing. I think it's probably from some area of French. But I know you find it in English poetry in various places.
Oh.
Not necessarily recent poetry.
Hmm. Cocaine. I'm just going to guess that it's C-O-C-K-A-I-G-N-E.
Excellent.
Yes!
Good guess.
Another one? Meridional, meaning southern or pertaining to a meridian. Meridian being a great circle that goes through the poles.
Mm-hmm. Meridional. M-E-R-I-D-I-A-N-A-L.
Nope.
Oh, no.
What?
That was one of our favorite words because it is a trick. I mean, it's tricky.
So how do you spell it?
Oh, it's with E-N, right?
No, it's M-E-R-I-D-I-O-N-A-L.
Oh.
Don't ask me why. The meridian is spelled I-A-N, but meridiano is I-O-N-A-L.
And this is, again, another example of why the language is so difficult, because there's no reason for that O to be there, really. One thing it should be noted about Webster and about Samuel Johnson when they were doing their dictionaries, don't forget particularly Johnson was writing with a quill pen, writing down thousands and thousands of words. He had no computer. He had no way to organize his material. And so, therefore, a lot of the spellings became inconsistent right from the get-go when the dictionaries were being compiled. I mean, you can sort of blame it on the early dictionary writers because they really had no way to reinforce any kind of consistency, except by memory. And obviously that didn't work.
Well, Carolyn now has a lead of 5 words correct to Dominique's 3 words correct. So let's keep going here with a few more words and see if Dominique could gain some ground. So Carolyn's up next.
Okay, we're going to give a fair, what we think may be fairly easy one, which would be hi-ho.
It can be an exclamation of pretty much anything. Weariness, according to the dictionary. Surprise, delight, boredom, anything.
Or crackers. do they still make those? Hi-ho. I'm going to go for the simplest. H-I-H-O.
Alas, not.
I knew it.
It is H-E-I-G-H hyphen H-O. Because if you were texting, it would be perfectly acceptable to write hi-ho, H-I-H-O.
And to be honest, this is in the dictionary spelled this way, but I'm not sure how the Lone Ranger or Kemosabe spelled it.
Or the Seven Dwarves, for that matter.
Yes. Well, Dominique could gain some ground here.
I think in the song it is H-E-I-G-H, but I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. All right, I'll give another one here. Ytterbium, which is one of the elements, a soft and silvery rare earth element that is used in irradiating equipment, I think, among other things.
Ytterbium, Y-T-T-E-R-B-I-U-M.
Excellent. Very good.
We have a sentence example for that where we mention Jose Ytterby, yes. But that might have dated us if we...
The so-named element ytterbium derives not from the late pianist Jose Ytterby, but from the name of a town in Sweden.
Ytterby, yeah.
Oh, you even know the town.
I like science.
All right, 5-4. Carolyn's still in the lead. Carolyn gets the next word.
We might try this. How about dum-dum, meaning...
Stupid person.
Like a lollipop? Or I don't know. When I text my friends, I don't know if I'm going to spell this out or shorten it.
This is dum-dum as a noun in the dictionary, meaning a dolt or a stupid person.
Mm.
Would you like a sentence example?
I don't know if it's going to help me, but sure.
Well, many people assumed he was a real dum-dum, but the point they were trying to make was hollow.
I'm not going to draw this out. D-U-M, D-U-M.
That's basically correct, but there is a hyphen in there.
Oh, okay.
We'll let George rule on that.
Well, yes, we'll let the judge rule.
I have.
Did you know you were the judge?
Yeah, I know. I did not know. Now I have the
power. I thought you guys were the judges.
We could. What about a half point for that?
Okay, we could do a half point.
All right.
Sure.
How about tamale, the liver of the lobster? Tamale.
Tamale.
Would you like the sentence? We have a good sentence for that
one. Sure.
The hot tamale at the end of the counter was scarfing down all the hot tamale she could extract with her lobster fork.
Wow.
That makes this so much easier, or not? Tamale. T-O-M-A-L-L-E-Y.
Very good.
Very good.
I'm really impressed.
You're no fun at all.
I'm sorry. I like lobster.
So now we have 5.5 to 5. And we're quickly running out of time here. So let's just go with 2 more words and see where we go.
Can I run down the clock like it's a football game?
Nickelic, which means made of nickel.
You got a sentence?
Do we have a sentence for that?
How many U.S. 5-cent coins today are actually nickelic?
I'm guessing not very many. That's how everything goes with this bee. Everything I think is not true. Nickelic. You got a language? I don't know how much etymology you have in this book.
We don't usually feature etymology in our...
No. But we can look that up for you.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not taking it that seriously.
Okay.
Nickelic. Dominique, do you know this one?
A little bit?
Yeah, okay, she totally knows it. Nickelic.
Before you go, it is from the new Latin word for nickel.
Yeah.
Nicolum or Nicolum.
N-I-C-O-L-L-I-C.
Alas, no. N-I-C-C-O-L-I-C.
Oh, all right.
Double letters are one of the great trials about English spelling.
You know what we're going to do here? Because I have been given the authority to be the judge, I'm going to scratch your half point off. And now we have a tie, 5-5.
Yay.
So let's go with one word. Here it is. This is the deciding word, so we won't give away the answer. Someone will have the opportunity to get it right.
Okay.
So, Dominique, the word is in your court, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Okay, is this for the whole kielbasa, as they say? Mm-hmm.
Everyone good with these rules that I just made up? Good?
Okay.
Yeah?
You want me to give it out?
Sure.
Piceus. Meaning glossy black or like pitch. Piceus.
Piceus. I think this is the one with pica. So P-I-C-E-O-U-S?
Correct.
Oh.
Okay. So by default, I guess Dominique will be the winner. But you know what? You're both winners, and I'll get Dennis Elsis to... put his voice on both of your home answering machines. How is that?
I don't actually have a home answering machine.
Your cell phone answering.
Okay.
All right, we can do that.
That was sort of like overtime in a football game, though, which you know, it's the person who has the ball, you know, often wins. So I think it really is a draw based on, you know, on
you're both very impressive.
Yes.
Public radio is so fair.
Fair and balanced. We do our best. Well, I thank you both for coming in and
thank you.
Such great sports. Carolyn D'Aquila and Dominique Vance, thank you both.
Thank you for the book.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you. This is really fun.
Thanks to David Grams and Ellen Levine. Their book is So You Think You Can Spell, Killer Quizzes for the Incurably Competitive and Overly Confident. David, Ellen, thank you so much.
Thank you
so much for having us. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And that's it for this week's Cityscape. You can always get past editions of Cityscape and learn how to podcast the show at WFUV.org. I'm George Bodarchy. My thanks to producer Skylar Srivastava. Have a great weekend. That's WEEKEND.
Now for the official Spelling Bee rules. A speller.
A speller.
May ask questions.
May ask questions.
About the word's pronunciation or definition.